Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart. But we didn't stop there. We combined soft and bouncy to bring you new Sweet Tarts Gummies Fruity Splits. A uniquely delicious dual-sided gummy with one side that's sweet and one side that's tart, but entirely smooth and squishy. Mmm, a powerfully perfect combo. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine.
This episode of Americana Music Profiles is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp is the world's leading online therapy platform. The mission of BetterHelp is to make professional therapy accessible, affordable, and convenient, so anyone who struggles with life's challenges can get help anytime, anywhere. BetterHelp offers access to licensed, trained, experienced, and accredited psychologists, marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, and board-licensed professional counselors. An extensive study by the Berkeley Well-Being Institute found BetterHelp to be as effective as face-to-face therapy. And now for a limited time, when you access BetterHelp, you will receive a 10% discount off of your first month. To activate this 10% discount, use my link at betterhelp.com/Americana.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. New Zealand singer-songwriter Graham James takes a contemplative look at life in his latest album, Seasons, due out on April 1st. This multi-instrument artist is also a producer and took advantage of his talents in the creation of this new project. Graham joins me here on this new edition of Americana Music Profiles as he talks about the process of putting together this new project. Hi, Graham. Welcome to the podcast.
Delighted to be here. Well, at some distance, but yeah.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And some distance is an understatement. where are we talking to you from today?
From The Hague in the Netherlands.
All right. That is a bit of a distance. I've got 11 a.m. here as we speak. What time is it for you?
I think it's exactly 6 hours on the other side of the Atlantic.
Okay.
So it's 5 o'clock and
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. New Zealand, home to you for a while, or were you born there? What's hometown for you?
It's hard to say these days, but yeah, I was born in New Zealand and, but I have a bit of Dutch heritage through my granddad, and so I have dual citizenship, which means I can live in a bunch of different places. And currently, we're living in The Hague, in the Netherlands. But yeah, I think I'm a reasonably bad Dutch person, and my language skills here are super average. but everyone's English here is incredible, so I feel slightly less bad.
Yeah. It's interesting. Of course, technology and the ability to connect like we are today has changed a lot of things. But growing up as a younger person throughout the 70s and 80s and not being able to communicate with people in other countries, you don't understand really how many people speak the English language, even if it's a variation of it, how easy it is to communicate like this between countries.
It is a little bit rude, but It's like, learn this ridiculous language, everyone.
right. Yeah. True. Yeah. And I don't know whose fault that is. But I guess to our defense, we came here speaking it. So it's not a,
this is true. This is
not a U.S. problem for a change. So yeah, exactly. We can't own that one.
Yeah.
When did music become a thing for you? Is it lifelong?
Yeah, lifelong. So my family's always been, really musical. And I started, my parents asked me if I wanted to play any instruments when I was about 5. And I started miming the actions of playing a violin. And I thought, oof, that sounds like a bad idea. Yeah. So they kind of let that slide. And then 2 years later, I was still wanting to do that. So they thought, okay, let's give this a go. And then they had to put up with the obligatory 3 years of awful noises. and then things just carried on from there.
At what age did that morph into a career playing for something more than just your own entertainment kind of thing?
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a journey, actually, because I started out as a classical musician. And then all throughout high school, that was kind of my thing. And I wanted to be a concert violinist, playing in orchestras and all that. But I had a few repetitive strain injuries from too much violining and kind of bad posture and things. And they never really resolved themselves. So I just ended up giving up on that. Went to uni, studied things that had nothing to do with music. But I started writing songs. I picked up the guitar, taught myself a few songs, and then immediately started a bit of songwriting while I was at uni. And after many years of playing the violin, I just kind of let it sit in its case for a couple of years. And then, picked up... there'd always been a bit of folk music in the family.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a family folk band when I was younger.
Hmm.
And so that started kind of re-emerging. And then I picked up a loop pedal at one point. And all the pieces kind of fell into place. I was like, the violin, I play that.
Hmm.
And so I was able to combine all these kind of disparate parts of my musical identity into one thing. And it's great.
I think I read where you spent some time as a street musician. Is that right? Using the loop?
Yeah, totally. So the first 2 years of my, was kind of an improvised career. This is around about 2012, were basically exclusively street performance. And I was living in a different town at the time. So I would go down to the capital city of New Zealand, which is Wellington. I'd drive down there and then play on the street and I'd usually play into the wee small hours of the night, mm-hmm. and then sleep in my car and do that a couple of nights and eventually make my way back. And then ended up just not through any kind of deprivation, but ended up just spending a couple of weeks in there just playing on the street and sleeping in my car. And I thought I should probably just do this actually. So I moved to Wellington. And then I went on tour, and basically at the time my touring was just basically finding different streets around New Zealand. So it was very organic.
Uh-huh.
But street performance is brilliant for proof of concept. And I was able to, even in those times, I was able to get people to stop and to engage with what I was doing. And so even though it was pretty raw and a bit rough and ready, that there was a sense that this might be a good option moving forward.
Have you always been able to pursue music as a source of profession, or have there been other things that you do along the way?
Yeah, well, the busking was actually somewhat lucrative. So when I was studying electrical engineering at the time, and just as a student and whatnot, and I ended up dropping out of that in my third year to become a musician, which a little bit ridiculous. But I had a good incentive to like make it work, which is that I wanted to eat food. So, you know, I just make it work and go out every day. And if it was raining, I'd go down to the train station and play there. And so right from the get-go, there wasn't really a plan. There wasn't a plan B. And I think because there wasn't a plan B, I was able to make it,
mm-hmm.
Make it happen. And then eventually it moved more indoors and then around the world.
When did you find your way into the studio and feel like you had enough material that you were happy with to record?
I think it was probably about a year and a bit into that journey. I was traveling down to a place called Queenstown, which is kind of the Aspen or Whistler or of New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a ski resort town. And it was during the summer. It's just like, it's a beautiful mountainous kind of place with lots of lakes. And I was playing there, and I actually met a magician from Boulder, Colorado.
Hmm.
Like an absolute veteran. He'd just been traveling around the world for years. Wow. And he said, you need to make an album. And I was like, oh yeah, great idea.
Yeah.
Thank you, magician. And I did. I went back to Wellington, booked a week's worth of studio time. I had virtually no idea what I was doing. But I had a very patient sound engineer who helped me to put together this album in absolutely no time at all. And yeah, it was, I then took that, this is kind of when CDs were still vaguely a thing, and I sold a bunch of them on the street, and I would get messages from people saying, hey, this is amazing. This was our soundtrack to our road trips. And,
Cool.
And eventually it actually, some of those tracks got picked up by Spotify a couple of years later as well.
Yeah.
Which was very surprising given how I was not at all confident in what I was doing, but I think it ended up being a bit of a vibe. So.
Yeah. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the interview. Did you play all of the instrumentation on that recording, or have some studio guys that you worked with also?
Yeah. No, it was completely me doing my thing. So the first album was a cover album. The first two, because when you're performing on the street, you've got a much better chance of stopping people if they go, oh, what is this? What is this?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that really allowed me, having those two cover albums under my belt, really allowed me to kind of almost serve an apprenticeship in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time it came around to releasing my third album, which was an original album, I was able to kind of hit the ground running. And yeah, it's actually only in recent times that I've started involving a whole bunch more musicians.
Mm, in the studio.
Mm.
Have you always performed as a solo artist, or have there been times where there's been a, quote, band involved?
I'd often play a couple of songs with my wife during the set. She's a wonderful songwriter and vocalist. And so we'd do that. But to be fair, there was just so much touring and moving around that there was really not that much of an opportunity to involve people, or at least I didn't take the opportunities that were there. It's actually only recently... this is kind of your classic musician COVID experience. You're like, oh, yeah. I should do things differently.
Yeah.
Probably everyone you have on your podcast is like, and then COVID came.
Right.
But for me, it was, I hooked up with a bunch of people here in a studio, and we started making some cool music together of a whole bunch of different genres, and then ended up with a bunch of collaborations through that. turned out that my accountant was also like a wonderful drummer.
That's cool.
So, like, yeah. And it, like, he had never done anything like this before, but like, there was a track off the Seasons album, and like, it ended up getting featured in Rolling Stone, and they specifically mentioned his drumming as being like,
oh, that's cool.
Completely outrageous. So like, doing things with friends is a real buzz.
Yeah. Yeah. What inspires you as a songwriter? What, and specifically for the new album, which you mentioned, Seasons, did you create the songs specifically for this record, or go back through your library?
So I think the majority of them were written. It was an interesting project because it ended up being written. Like, I came up with the idea for it pre-COVID. And just kind of sat and wrote a lot of stuff based around seasonal themes.
Mm-hmm.
The Netherlands is, it's not particularly extreme in terms of its seasonality, but it's a whole lot more seasonal than New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the deciduous trees as opposed to the evergreen ones in New Zealand. And you know, you get a bit of snow in winter and, the seasons were just so much more distinct. And so that inspired this kind of songwriting, process. And so I think there's probably only one or two songs, maybe even none, that were kind of, like possibly one or two songs that were like, oh, I think this fits into that theme.
Yeah.
It was, a lot of it was just kind of writing and then just using the seasons as a metaphor for various kind of aspects of human existence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of singer-songwriters are kind of limited to one instrument. That's the one that they've always played, guitar, maybe piano, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Being a multi-instrumentalist, when you write songs, do you incorporate the other instruments and the sounds as you're creating? When do the other instruments' sounds come into your writing process?
It's a really good question. I wish I had an amazing answer, but I think I end up just often just going back to whatever's lying around.
Uh-huh. Okay.
At the time. So it's like I have a couple of go-tos, and they're basically a baritone ukulele that I've done awful things to in terms of its tuning. And that's always just lying around. Uh-huh. And then usually a guitar. I mean, there was a few sort of songs that were keyboard or piano led or mandolin led, but mostly it ends up being just playing around with chords and looking mm-hmm. for interesting mm-hmm. inversions and something to kind of spark that process. But I'm basically like every other singer-songwriter at the initial stages.
Yeah. Yeah. Which comes first, the melody or the words? Does it have a
melody? Yeah, it's for me, it's almost always chords and then some sort of garbled melody. It's kind of usually gibberish based around one or two
uh-huh.
kind of phrases, and then discovering what the song is about.
Yeah.
I don't tend to go into probably 75% of the songs that I write. I'm not sure what I'm writing when okay. I start out.
Interesting.
And then the clarity kind of comes over time.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm like, okay, this is a song about this, and it will start that way and kind of track its way through to the end. But often I'm discovering, things about the song and about myself as I'm writing them.
Uh-huh. Interesting. The album is Seasons. We are talking, early March. I think I saw the release date on that is April 1st or right around there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And singles are out already?
Yes.
Okay. And video, have you been able to do some video with these two?
Yeah, yeah. So the Everlasting Love, which was the first single, I was in Rome recently and managed to find a brilliant local videographer to kind of follow me around, making assorted street noises.
Yeah.
That was really fun.
Yeah.
And then, the next one is going to be based here in The Hague.
Yeah.
It's an autumn themed song and it's very much winter, so I'm going to go find some leaves and throw them at things.
How far out are you thinking? Are you already working on the next project or not quite that fast?
Also a good question. I think there's a lot of kind of other background things going on. So I started writing songs, but I'm not really sure of the direction. I can be very enthused about many different things. So I'm like for about a whole month, I was pretty sure I was going to go down some sort of indie folk rock kind of path. and then you're like, oh, that's actually not that good an idea. And so I think I'm just going to sit on things for a while after this. And I think it needs a bit more time to percolate.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. How can people get in touch, get a copy of the record, listen to the videos, watch the videos, listen to the music? What's the best way to do all that?
Well, it'll all be out on Spotify and all the various streaming services and Graham James. So Graham with the weird spelling, but G-R-A-E-M-E,
mm-hmm.
James. I think it's a tricky one because there's a if you spell it the normal way, which is with the Graham,
mm-hmm.
and you end up with a lot of news articles for a pedophile hockey coach in Canada. So not such a good vibe.
Don't want to go down that path.
Don't go down there. He's a terrible musician as well. Graham James TV on YouTube, and there'll be some vinyl coming out in the near future.
Cool.
Not quite timed with the release, but later in 2022.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks, Graham. I appreciate the chat, and always good to connect, make these instant connections and learn about music in other parts of the country from us, at least. And so we certainly wish you well with it.
Really appreciate it. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Greg, and thanks to the listeners. And we'll see you around.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.